Well, that's a convenient segue, Tegan, into our question and answer session on this podcast, because we actually got a question from Gabrielle on breast cancer screening.
Yes, indeed. And I promise I didn't set it up this way, but it does seem very fortuitous. And of course, if you've got a question, you can email us healthreport@abc.net.au. But Gabrielle has written in saying, I'm interested in the latest on breast cancer screening and the likelihood of reducing death by breast cancer. Because a few years ago, Norman, there was a two-part Health Report special on this, basically saying while breast cancer deaths have dropped since the introduction of breast screening, it's less in the target population and more in younger women, more likely related to more effective treatment. And we did talk about, well, you did, I wasn't on the show at this time, about overdiagnosis. But then, of course, there are lots of studies, including one from Sweden that Gabrielle has sent us, saying that, yes, mammography does reduce rates of advanced and fatal breast cancers. So she's 53. She hasn't had a breast screen because of listening to that Health Report. And she's wondering what the most recent studies are showing.
Yeah. Look, this is a story that goes backwards and forwards, and there are people who are sceptical about breast cancer screening. And Professor Alex Barrett, who was the person who made that series, unfurled the evidence pro and con breast cancer screening. And one of the key issues here is overdiagnosis. So in other words, do you worry more women than you save lives in terms of finding lesions that are not going to turn into cancer? So before I get to the answer here, it's because it is kind of complicated. Breast cancer is like many cancers, is that you can find a precancerous lesion that in some women will proceed to cancer and in some women it won't. And it's a bit like the early prostate cancer in men. It's a bit like the polyps in bowel cancer, in everybody that leads to bowel cancer. In a sense, it's easy with bowel cancer. You find blood in the stool when you do the fecal occult blood test and you do a colonoscopy. And the removal of the polyp is relatively easy with very few side effects and you're kind of done and dusted. And you get a significant reduction in mortality from bowel cancer by doing that. And cervical cancer is the same. You find early cancer or pre-cancer, and in some women it's not going to progress, but you treat them anyway, and it's a relatively simple treatment and with very few side effects. The problem becomes more complicated in breast cancer because when you find the lesion, the treatment is not absolutely certain. You can do genetic testing and various other things, but you tend to treat it, and the treatment involves often chemotherapy, maybe radiation, and is not necessarily straightforward, like just removing a polyp from the bowel. So these are the pros and cons. The bottom line is, and this Swedish study that Gabrielle quoted is, oh, and by the way, that interview with John is really important because what John is saying there is by using the digital mammography techniques and ascertaining risk according to digital mammography, adding genetics, you're actually going to segregate women into higher risk where it's really worth doing screening. Mm. And then you might find other women who are at really low risk and you only actually end up with relatively few mammograms, which some women would be quite grateful for because it could be uncomfortable. And so that starts to change the story. But even with mammography as it is, this study of about 540,000 women in Sweden who were undergoing regular mammography screening found a 40% reduction in the risk of dying of breast cancer in 10 years and a 25% reduction in the rate of advanced breast cancers. So the benefit is there. And if I was a woman, I'd be having breast cancer screening.
So Gabrielle, maybe please go out and get a breast screen.
Yeah, and Gabrielle was obviously concerned about it and has dug up the study, and this is one of the better studies.
So on from breast cancer to osteoporosis, another thing that is often experienced by women, Bronca has written in saying that they had a bone density scan 2 years ago. They'd reached 70. It showed that they had a bit of osteopenia, which if I'm right, Norman, is like a bone loss.
Yeah, it's just the beginning of bone loss.
And so they increased their calcium intake, they increased their vitamin D, they were sort of borderline normal. Bronca says they probably should have gone to the gym and or done Pilates, but didn't bother because they were already exercising a lot. 2 years later, has it's progressed to osteoporosis. And the doctor says that she should go on medication. She's worried that Bronca's going to break their hip. She doesn't think that exercise is going to help build the bones anymore. So do you think it's too silly to try harder for another couple of years and leave off the medication?
I can't give Bronca advice on this. I mean, this is where angels fear to tread. I mean, you've really got to see a specialist in this. And if you're not happy with the endocrinologist you've seen, get a second opinion and take that view. The medications do work. There has been a tendency to over-treat in this situation. But if you've got recognized osteoporosis and your fracture risk is high, then it is worth considering medication.
What sort of medications do you get put on if you've got osteoporosis?
So there are medications that tend to build the bone and increase the bone density. So the complication here with these is the extent to which these treatments prevent fractures. And over the years, they have been shown to decrease the risk of fractures. Vitamin D and calcium have not really been shown to decrease the risk of fractures. So vitamin D and calcium are not very effective treatments for osteopenia. So a lot of people go on it, but probably not much help. If you want to prevent osteoporosis, there are various things that you can do. And it does tend to run in families. They say that slim, fair-haired women are more likely to get osteoporosis, but other people can get it too, and men can get it as well. Before I jump to the prevention, how you know you might have it without having done a bone density scan is you have a trivial fall and you break a bone. So a really trivial fall and you land in your hand and you've broken your wrist and you think, my God, that wasn't much of a fall. That's a sign that your bones are too thin, but that's getting, that's pretty late in the affair. So what they say is the best thing for you is weight-bearing exercise that has impact on hard ground. So if we're talking to people that are listening who are in their 30s and 40s, jogging, dancing, jumping, those sorts of exercises where you're actually hitting the floor and getting a bang on the floor in a sense, that you're getting impact, that is really good for your bones. And obviously a healthy diet as well. Some people say caffeine is not good for the bones. It's controversial. Smoking is really poison for the bones. You really do not want to smoke. I wouldn't be so quick to say that exercise is not going to be of benefit because you really want to exercise to strengthen the muscles around your bones so that you're not going to fall. So you want to do things like Pilates, yoga, walking, get your muscles as strong as possible because you do not want to fall when you've got thinner bones. But you sound as if you may be heading for treatment, but the doctor is the one to, a real doctor, not just a pretend media doctor like me, is one to give you the advice, not me.
Does the window start to close after a while of what you can do to prevent osteoporosis?
Well, there's a lot of discussion about that. Maybe we should cover it on the health report and just bring people up to date. So there's this notion of your bone bank, and which is controversial, and that in your early years of life. So for example, if you are athletic and you exercise a lot and you have a healthy diet and you don't smoke, you can build up a decent bone bank. If, however, you've got an eating disorder earlier on in life or you smoke, then you reduce your bone bank. What they argue is that you get to a certain stage of your life, maybe in your late 20s, where the bone that you've got is the bone that you're going to live with. I think people have moved away from that and they recognize that high impact exercise can actually increase bone density. Vitamin D probably makes no difference. And certainly avoiding smoking is a good idea. And for those of you who've got a family history of osteoporosis, you really want to get onto this and watch that sort of thing probably more intently.
I think you're right, Norman. I think we need a bit more of a deep dive into it on a future health report.
We do, with somebody who knows what they're talking about rather than me.
Well, that's it for this week's health report. Of course, if you've got questions, please send them to healthreport@abc.net.au.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.